This is the week that a lot of us look forward to, because all of my favorite things are contained all in one day: food, naps, and football. But you know, the picture that is before you now really is significant, because we should be thankful every day.
Amen.
And in the passage that was read earlier, note that it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. That's a model of consistency.
Amen.
I want to challenge us this morning to be consistent. Make it a point to be consistent from now to the end of this year. That's 5 weeks, something like 5 weeks. On those three things, I believe that this would be the most mentally therapeutic thing that we could ever do. I believe that God's word is there to help us in all kinds of ways, particularly in the way that we think. And so we'll just look at those. Nothing out of the ordinary here this morning, nothing extraordinary, but we begin by the idea of rejoicing. Rejoicing is something that we do. It's not something that we feel. Rejoice is a verb of action. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. And I like his qualifier here, rejoice in the Lord. Because this world is not a place that will cause or create a lot of rejoicing within us. There's headaches and there's heartaches and there's pain and there's sorrow. And there are times of joy, but there are times that are not joyful. But we must not let our environment determine who we are and what we do. As we look back through the history of Paul, and heaven knows Paul had reasons to rejoice, but boy, he had reasons not to, if he allowed his environment to take control of him. In 2 Corinthians 5, in the 21st verse, the scripture says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's a focus. That's a recognition and a realization of what God has done for us. He made his son to be the thing that he hated the most so that we could become righteousness in him. And our circumstances don't change that. They have nothing to do with that fact right there. If everybody in the world hated me, it wouldn't change that. If I couldn't walk down the street for fear of being attacked, it wouldn't change that. And he goes on to say in chapter 6 and verse 1, working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The Lord's grace does not change with circumstances either. And we have been recipients, those who have responded to the gospel message have been recipients of God's grace. Rejoice in that grace. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He goes on to say, giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses. He went through it all, didn't he? In beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, and hunger, and purity, and knowledge, and patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in genuine love, and the word of truth, and the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. In and through all of that,
hallelujah,
we cannot let our circumstances dictate our rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord always. I dare you. I challenge you. Put it on a sticky note on your morning mirror, wherever you need to put it. Rejoice today. Not tomorrow. Don't worry about it. I forgot to do it yesterday. Rejoice this day. For God sent his son to become sin for us. In whatever way we can understand that, he took our sins to that cross so that we might have eternal life and be righteous in him.
Amen.
God's grace has not been withdrawn from us because we're getting to a hard time. Consistency, rejoice consistently.
Amen.
Challenge number one for us.
Rejoice.
Whatever it takes. He then says, 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. How's our prayer life? Is it sporadic? Is it sometimes do, sometimes don't? Is it when we really feel the weight of the world on our shoulders that we seek God? How about those days when things are really good? When things are fine? Do we pray in those days? Because there are people whose days are not fine. There are all kinds of issues all around the world and right down the block. Across the street, in our own family sometime. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Don't ever stop. In Ephesians 6, he talks about this: with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, all the time. Be in consistent contact with God. I like to think of it as engaging with God and just being in His presence. Think about what a remarkable thing that is. God Almighty says, come, spend time with me. Talk with me. I want to hear from you. Did you do something last week that was horrendous and terribly embarrassing? Or did you do something this morning? Don't run away. Come talk to me.
Amen.
Come to the throne of grace and mercy in your time of need.
Thank you, Lord.
All the time in the Spirit. That's consistent with the Spirit's revelation. We've got it. We've got it in our hand, what's in the Spirit's head. And so in view of this, come talk to me all the time. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. If we don't have anything going on with us, I guarantee you somebody in the pew next to you does, or in front of you does, or behind you does, or your neighbor that ran his car into a tree, as we heard about this morning. We have people all around us that need God so bad. How about the lost person down the street? How about the drug addict, the alcoholic that can't get over it? Pray for them. Pray for all the saints. If we think the saints don't have headaches and heartaches like everybody else does, we're terribly misguided. He said, pray all the time. Man, there's a world full of need for God. Remember it. And especially within our own number here, we think about the people that have gone through and are going through things just over the last months. All the time. All the saints. All the time for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, says Paul. It's hard for me to imagine what I'm getting ready to read applies to Paul. On my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. I read the book of Acts and what Paul did, and I can't imagine that he ever had any problems opening his mouth. But you know what? Maybe that's why he didn't have problems opening his mouth, because people were praying for him to be bold. There is this wondrous mystery of the gospel that has been revealed now about salvation, about redemption, about hope beyond this world. And praying to God is our opportunity to talk with Him about the wonders of that and to make it known. To make it known in our circle, whatever that circle might be. To make known the mystery of the gospel. It is a mystery until people hear it, because God has revealed it. For which I am an ambassador in chains. See, he was still praying for boldness, even though he was confined because of what he was doing. That in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He seemed to be the boldest man I've ever encountered by written word or any other word for that matter. And yet Paul himself asked for prayer. Lord, pray for me that I make it. Pray consistently. Pray for the church. I look at the Ephesians 3. I love the Ephesians 3 prayer, where Paul bows before the Father and prays, number one, for him to strengthen the church with his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. Can you imagine a collection of people whose hearts are just filled up with Christness? And that they will be rooted and grounded in love. And I think about that phrase just fills my mind with wonder, because we can actually sink our roots into His love. Amen. And build our lives on that, on the extraordinary love that God has for us and that Christ has for us particularly. Because he goes on to say, talk about the extraordinary dimensions of the love of Christ, the depth and the breadth and the width and the height and how far he has come. Jesus Christ left being God, with God, was God, emptied himself, took on the form of a bondservant to come save us. How much does the Christ love us? And I pray that we love one another like that. And the prayer is to know that love which surpasses knowledge. You take it as far as you can go, and that's not far enough. To be filled to God's fullness, to be what God wants us to be. Do we pray that for all the saints? The stubborn, the mean, those that behave in inappropriate ways. Do we pray that for them? Lord, I pray that they'll know your love. That they will understand how far you came to save them. Think about all that Christ did to save us. All that God did. Begin in Genesis and read to Revelation, and that's what God did to save us. It's all right there. And Paul wants, number one, that they would pray for him to make that known like he ought to make it known. But number two, doesn't that tell us something about the mind and the love of Christ? That he came through all of that, and that we need to know that. I want you to know that. On that note, four, rejoice and pray to that note. Pray every day. Whatever, when something pops into your mind, man, that's a beautiful leaf over there. Thank you, Lord. To pray consistently. Jesus said, now he was telling them a parable. The text says of him, to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. You know what happens when we disconnect from God? Now, I've wondered about this prayer. I've wondered about that statement, not about the prayers getting ready to offer, but that statement. I'm thinking, okay, do we pray because we're discouraged, or we stop praying because we're discouraged, or do we get discouraged because we stop praying? And I would say it's cyclical or circular. I get kind of discouraged, so I quit praying, and then the result of that is I get more discouraged. And we're fighting a tough battle here. The person next to you, the person in front of you, the person behind you, we're all fighting this battle. And the devil wants us, and God wants us, and we want to go with God, and sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's a challenge. And so we pray for one another all the time, pray for all the saints all the time, that they might be victorious in that. And when they're not behaving in a victorious way, that's a sad thing. And they need our prayer. When people are not behaving like Christians ought to behave, we shouldn't cast them aside. We should pray harder for them. Amen. And in our own journeys. At the end of Matthew or John 13, Jesus tells Peter, you're going to deny me. In the very next verse, chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, don't be discouraged. Don't be troubled in your heart. Believe in God and believe also in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Wait, you just said he's going to lay you down. I know, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Think about that place. Think about that place that Jesus left equality with God to come bring us to open a way for us. This is a very discouraging world, and we're going to allow it to drag us down if we stop praying. So we need to talk to our Father all the time. Stay in constant contact with our Father. Engage with God Almighty, for that is the only way we'll get through that. And of course, this week, we could not possibly forget the last part of this. In everything, give thanks. Always be thankful. Amen. It is one of the most therapeutic things you'll ever do for your thinking and your state of mind. Amen. But if we do these three things, bottom of the sticky note, be thankful. Rejoice, pray, be thankful. And those two things I don't think we can quite separate out as neatly as I just did. Whenever Paul wrote to the Colossian church, and we're spending our time in the Sunday morning Bible class with the letter to the Colossians. But in chapter 3, he says this, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." And I would just pause right there and say, how's my heart? If I went to a spiritual cardiologist, what would he find in there? How is the health of my heart? Is it at peace? In fact, is it governing my heart? To which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Just thinking about what God does within a person. But we were called in one body. In the Lord's church and in Ephesians 2, it says that we are reconciled to God in the one body. So we've been brought back in contact, in connection with God in the body. Sin alienated us and God brought us back through the blood of his son. That's something to be thankful for. Just think of what God has done for us. We talked about that in Bible class this morning, that he qualified us for that kingdom, for that inheritance. We read of the inheritance in 1 Peter chapter 1, where he talks about that imperishable, undefiled, reserved in heaven for you inheritance. We are heirs of God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
That's hard to imagine. We can't fathom what is that like? We'll find out when we get there. But it's beyond description. All I know is it's not like the riches of this world, which will fade in their value. Somebody can steal it. Somebody nature will take it away from us, or somebody will take it away from us. But what God has for us, that inheritance is going to be perfect forever.
Amen.
Forever. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. We've got the peace ruling his heart and the word dwelling inside of us. This is not a passing glance at what the word of God has to say. This is chewing it up and swallowing it, making it part of who we are. The word of Christ richly, richly inside of us. Just almost like it's just overflowing out of us. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. One of the reasons we sing is for this very reason right here. Is to be an encouragement to one another and a reminder and maybe teaching some things. Singing with thankfulness in your heart. When we sang this morning, did we have thankfulness in our heart? Thankfulness in our heart to God. What are the points this made through the Psalms several different times is give thanks to God. Why? The sign says it. Because he's good.
Amen.
God is good. And everything he does is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from him who has no shadow.
Amen.
Thankfulness to God. Thankfulness to God for his son. Thankfulness to God for his spirit. Thankfulness to God for taking us out of the clutches of Satan, the domain of darkness, and transferring us, some versions say translating us, into the kingdom of his beloved son. Oh, that we could really grasp all of this. But with that, sing with thankfulness in your heart. Be thankful. We're in one body. The words in us, be thankful. Be thankful. He goes on to say, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Everything that we do ought to be reflective of a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness. God has done so much for us. In the first letter, in fact, or the first chapter of this letter, the latter part of the prayer that we talked about in Bible class this morning, he says of them, that he prayed that they were giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the lights and saints, or saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. And I think we were in the grasp of darkness. Darkness was ruling us. It was our master, and we were servants of darkness. And he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. And that's a kingdom now. This is something to which we have not only great benefits, but also responsibility.
Amen.
We have the responsibility to behave like citizens of this kingdom.
Amen.
Of his beloved son. We don't rule our life anymore. Thy will be done. In whom we have redemption. Redemption. We were being held hostage. And he paid a price to liberate us from that hostage situation in which we were. The forgiveness of our sins. Whatever we've done, whatever you've done, let's make it real personal. What I have done, through the blood of the Son, I've been forgiven.
Hallelujah.
Been forgiven.
Amen.
Man, is that something to be thankful for as we close in on this epic Thankful Thursday coming up this week. Give thanks consistently. The passage says this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And I pause for a moment and reflect on my own journey and think, is this the way that I live my days? Do I wake up in the morning and say, I'll rejoice today, I'll pray today, and I'll give thanks today? And I'll begin looking for reasons to rejoice, things to pray about, and things to be thankful for. In the Sermon on the Mount, whenever Jesus taught the disciples to pray, remember what he prayed, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Remember the last part of that? The next part of that? This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus is the next part of this verse. And I've seen many discussions there about, well, what is that referring to, God's will for you in Christ Jesus? Is it talking about the everything give thanks, or is it talking about all of it? I don't think he would have put it in his Bible if he didn't intend for us to do all of it. I don't think we ought to chop out verse 16 and toss that aside and say, well, okay, maybe I can pray, but being thankful. This is God's will for us. Now, I may not be able to elaborate and analyze and say, okay, here's the benefits of all of this. I think it's beneficial to our thinking, and it may extend beyond that, because, you know, if I think differently, I behave differently, and when I behave differently, I treat other people differently, and when I treat other people differently, then they behave differently. Or it might open a door and say, I wonder why he's like that. Why is that person different? Whenever the going gets tough, they don't just fold up under the pressure. Why are they like that? Peter would say in his first letter, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. People that have hope live different. They behave different. So as we look at this and we kind of dissect it as best we can, he says, rejoice. Top word on the sticky note. Prayer. Be thankful. And as he encourages these things, maybe it's more than encourages these things. Maybe he's actually commanding us here to do things that are mentally good for us. And when we are better mentally, everything is better.
Amen.
Everything is better. And he says, pray for this, thy will be done. Well, you know, he just told us several things that are his will. His will be done. Am I subject to his will? Have I prayed thy will be done and then not done it? That kind of empties that prayer of some meaning, doesn't it? Thy will be done, but I'm not going to do it. You all do his will now. Thy will be done. Thanksgiving coming up Thursday. Everybody enjoys Thanksgiving, I think, pretty much. We get together with our friends, the ones we love the most. Won't it be grand when we get together with the one face-to-face that loves us
Amen.
The most?
Amen.
That'll be a continuous Thanksgiving day. I feel certain that it is. How are your days? How is your spiritual pilgrimage going? Are you rejoicing? Are you praying? Are you thankful? If not, here's the challenge. Starting today, I'm going to do these three things. I am. I'm going to focus my mind on the things for which I can rejoice. And again, I remind us that's a verb. That's doing something. That's not feeling something. Praying, staying in constant contact with our Father, and being thankful for all that He's done for us. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. I like to think of those as encouragement songs. Sometimes we open the door. We always open the door for anyone that may have a special need, and we want to give that opportunity also today. If we can serve you in any way this morning, we're going to sing this song, and we'd invite you to come as we stand and do so.